Chapter 2 Escape from Luxor. Next morning, Imani went straight to the hospital to find that Hayden was out of bed and walking around. Her face was back to normal, and although she still had bruises, she looked 10 times better than the day before. I can't believe it. Yesterday, I thought I was going to die, but then, in the afternoon, I felt this surge of energy, or God knows what it was, rushing through me. Then, within the next hour, my face started going down, and the nurses all rushed in staring at me. They couldn't believe what was happening. Like I was going through a transformation in front of them, Hayden said. I can't believe it either. So, are they letting you out then? I hope so. When can we get back to London? Kurt said, as soon as we like. Let me ask the doctor if you can check out. Then I'll arrange the flights. I thought you had broken arms yesterday. Me too. And they put me in plaster, but I can move my fingers. And look, she lifted her arms up and down as if they were totally healed. Imani found the head nurse in her office and explained they had to change their flights and asked if she was okay to fly. The nurse said she saw no reason not to, as she was nothing like when she was brought in yesterday, but the doctor did say he wanted to x-ray her arms, and if they're not broken as suspected, they could remove the plaster. Imani rushed back to Hayden and told her the good news, then said she'd be back later after contacting the airline. Whilst walking out of the hospital, she heard a voice in her head. Someone is in your room. They are searching for the box. Go back to the hotel now. She jumped in a taxi and within 15 minutes was back at the hotel. Her room was totally ransacked and the djinn materialized next to her as the beautiful Asian girl. They have the box. You must get it back as soon as possible. If they read the inscription correctly, I will be their servant and cannot help you any more. How can I get it back? It was the American man in the chamber where the Frenchman took my box. You mean Jason? Yes, I believe that is his name. I can help you, but I need to use your body. If I appear as a djinn, he will know immediately and try to take command of me. Okay, but how are you going to use my... Imani tried to speak, but blacked out, and the djinn was inside her, running down the corridor towards the elevator. Down in reception, she walked into the restaurant where Jason and Kurt were talking and examining the box. Ah, so there you are. I've just come back from the hospital, and Hayden is much better today, the djinn said in Imani's body. She caught them by surprise, and Jason quickly hid the box behind his back. Really? I'm so glad to hear, Kurt said authoritatively. Give it to me before I unleash its wrath on you, she said. What are you talking about? The box you just took from my room. Give it to me now. But you have no idea what you're dealing with. Really? And you do? The room immediately filled with locusts. Everyone started screaming and running out of the restaurant. Jason started to run, but Imani was too fast for him and ripped his arm off in front of a horrified Kurt. Blood was pouring out of his shoulder as she grabbed the box and tossed his arm on the floor at Kurt's feet. Kurt tried to speak, but the locusts filled his mouth and he started to choke, falling to the floor, clutching his mouth. Imani turned and casually walked out of the restaurant. The insects disappeared within seconds, and Kurt got up spitting the last few out of his mouth. Jason was clutching his shoulder on the floor in a pool of blood as the restaurant manager rushed over. "Call an ambulance quickly," Kurt shouted as he picked up the arm and then said, "Get me some ice. Maybe we can save his arm." Imani woke up staring at herself in the mirror in her room. "What happened?" she thought to herself as the djinn immediately reappeared next to her as the Asian girl. "We have the box back, but they know you have control of me, and I had to hurt the American man," the djinn said. "What did you do?" "He tried to run away with a box, so I grabbed his arm." "And?" "It was severed, but I can make it okay. They are taking him to the hospital. Shall I let them reattach the arm or leave it as a lesson?" "No, please. Let him get better. Imani said, feeling sorry for Jason. You have a good heart, but they will do anything to steal of my box. They will not give up, I can assure you. They have been trying to control the djinn for many years, but could not get the boxes out of the chamber.
Why not? Pierre managed to get yours out.
Yes, but it was while they were being attacked by the other djinn. They were disturbed and very angry. The week before you arrived, two men tried to recite the inscription on another box within the chamber, but did not pronounce the order correctly, and the djinn killed them.
So, what if they tried to go back again and managed to get some boxes out?
Impossible now, as many djinn are awake and aware. They need to go home and hope the djinn do not want revenge. Not all djinn are like me. I can do good or bad depending on my will, but I know many djinn only want to play tricks or inflict pain and death. They enjoy making humans suffer.
How do I know you're not tricking me?
You don't, but you are able to read my inscription perfectly, so you already have more knowledge and power over your colleagues. I have my desires like all beings, be it physical or elemental, but they are not destructive unless I am commanded.
So, what are they, then?
You will find out in due course, but I especially enjoy the pleasures of the flesh. That's why I appear as a beautiful Asian girl for you. The character is from your subconscious.
God, I have so many questions, and I can answer them all for you, but you must get away from here. They are already looking for you.
Imani grabbed her backpack and threw in what things she could find, as everything was strewn all around the room. She wrapped the box in a T-shirt, put it in the backpack, and packed clothes all around it. Luckily, her passport was still in the side pocket, and she quickly exited the room.
How are we going to get past reception? She asked.
No problem. Just hold my arm.
Suddenly, they were standing on the street on the opposite side of the road to the hotel.
What the hell? How did you do that? Imani exclaimed.
I believe you call it quantum jumping.
Where do you desire to go now?
I have to change the flights for me and Hayden at the airport.
No, you cannot go to the airport. He has already told some people, and they are searching for you there. I suggest you collect your friend and get a taxi to Aswan. There is another airport there. But do not go to Sohag or Cairo. They will be expecting you to take that route, and he has many contacts.
How do you know all that?
I operate in what you call the ether. It's a parallel realm to the earth plane, so I am able to see many things you as a human cannot.
But I don't have any money. And how far is Aswan?
About 3 hours in a taxi, but no problem. I will inhabit the driver so your friend cannot see me. Do not tell her about me, or else she will have demands and try to get you to do things for her.
So I can't tell anyone about you?
It is not advisable. It will cause you great pain. You have enough problems with the American and German, but maybe later.
Imani jumped in a taxi and told the driver to go to the hospital as the djinn disappeared. On arrival, she told the driver to wait, but he replied,
"Of course, Imani, it is me. Be careful what you say in front of your friend."
"Really? You're inside the taxi driver?"
"Yes, it is me."
She jumped out, ran into the main entrance, and found Hayden sitting on a chair reading a magazine.
"Look! No plaster! They took an X-ray and said there was nothing broken, so took it off," Hayden said, all excited.
Imani couldn't believe the transformation. Even her black eyes were almost back to normal.
"So, where's Pierre? I didn't see him in the hospital, and they wouldn't tell me anything. They said to ask you," Hayden asked.
"Come on, we have to go. I'll tell you on the way," Imani said, pulling her up and running back out to the taxi.
"Are we going back to the hotel, then?"
No, it's a long story, but we have to get away from here. Something happened at the hotel, and that American guy Jason and Kurt are after me."
"What? Why? So,
Where are we going, then? Aswan. It's another airport a few hours south of Luxor. But what about my stuff and my passport? Shit, I never thought about that. Driver, can you go back to the hotel? I forgot to pick up her passport.
Are you sure, madam? Have you checked in your luggage? The hotel is full of police after the incident this morning, the driver said. Imani looked in her bag and saw Hayden's passport with hers.
Oh, my God. I'm so confused with everything that's happened. Yes, head for Aswan, it's here. But what about my stuff? Hayden said. There is no stuff. Look, Hayden, even I only have a few things in this bag. Something happened at the hotel this morning, and all our stuff is gone. The hotel was attacked by a cloud of insects, and everyone had to get out. Then it caught fire.
What? But where's Pierre, then? Hayden asked.
I don't know.
If you mean the Frenchman who was with you this morning, madam, I took him to the airport earlier, the driver said.
Oh, thank you, driver. Was it Luxor, and did he say where he was going?
I believe he said Paris, madam.
So he's obviously okay and going home, then? Imani asked again to be clear.
Yes, madam.
Hayden, what exactly do you remember? I went to the room with Pierre after we'd finished the wine. Then I woke up in the hospital.
Imani decided to not ask her any more, as she realized the gin had erased some of her memories.
The gin were created before man. While the jinn were made of fire, man was made of clay, and angels created of light. In this way, the jinn are invisible. Chapter 1. The Jinn.
Imani was woken by Kurt ringing her room at 8 a.m, telling her to come down as soon as possible. He needed to speak to her. She had a quick shower and took the elevator down to the lobby. Kurt was waiting and ushered her into the restaurant. As they sat down, he asked,
What happened last night?
Nothing. Why? What do you mean, what happened? Imani replied.
What time did you go to your room, and where was Hayden and Pierre?
I left them together, here in the restaurant. We had a bottle of wine, but I was tired and went to bed. I think it was about 7 o'clock.
Kurt held her hand and said, Something terrible has happened. Pierre was found dead in his room. The police said the room is covered in blood, and it looked like she was raped, but it couldn't have been Pierre, as he was on the floor with both his arms and legs broken, and his severed head was in the bathroom with his eyes gouged out. She's still alive, but has broken arms and looks like she was thrown across the room several times.
Imani couldn't speak. Are you okay? Kurt asked.
Yes, sorry. I thought I was going to be sick.
I'm afraid that's not all. Catherine has died in the hospital. Her arm turned completely black and it spread all over her body. Then it burst open with, I don't know what. They said it was like she was full of bugs.
What?
Oh my God, what did we unleash in there? Imani said. I'm still racking my brains and talking to my colleagues, but none of them have been any help so far. But I can't get my head around Pierre and your friend Hayden, he exclaimed.
Oh, where is she now?
At the hospital, but she's in a bad way.
I have to go and talk to her, Imani said.
Okay, but if she can talk, try to find out what happened. I have to talk to the police again. It's getting really messy now.
Imani jumped in a taxi and went straight to the hospital. Hayden was conscious, but both her arms were in plaster, black eyes and a face like a pumpkin, all battered and bruised. They let her in, but said she couldn't stay long. Hayden looked at Imani as tears welled up in both their eyes.
Oh, what happened? Imani said in between sobs.
I can't remember much. The room filled up with a black mist. I was being thrown across the room. It was so powerful. Not human, but looked like a girl. Then it was a man. Then I passed out.
But what was it and why? Imani asked.
P-
Pierre had one of those little wooden boxes in his room. He said he took it from one of the holes in the chamber we were in. But when he opened it, the room filled up with a black mist. Oh, God, so whatever it is, he brought it out of the pyramid. I have to tell Kurt. I'll come and see you tomorrow, okay? Imani said goodbye and quickly took a taxi back to the hotel. She found Kurt, but he was still talking to the police. He waved her over and said he'd talk to her as soon as they'd finished. She went to her room and sat on the bed, even more scared than before, now knowing Pierre had taken one of the boxes. The room became icy cold within seconds, and it appeared floating in front of her. A dark, smoky figure of a beautiful, exotic-looking girl staring at her with pitch-black, soulless eyes. "You have released me. Now you must help me adjust to this time. I have been sleeping for hundreds of your years." Imani was absolutely terrified and started to run for the door, but the apparition moved like lightning to block her path. "Stop running. I will not hurt you," it commanded. She stopped dead and backed up against the wall, still trembling in fear. "Why did you kill all those people?" she managed to blurt out. "I was awoken when he opened my box. He did not read the inscription, so I was not his servant." "Servant? What about all the other people at the pyramid?" "That was not me. We are jinn, and many are sleeping in the pyramid, as you call it. We have been disturbed, and many are very angry." "But why are you talking to me?" Imani asked. "I can see you have knowledge of our culture, and you are different from the other girl. I did not kill her, but was very angry when they released me." "So, what are you going to do? Please don't hurt me. I can help you get home if that's what you want." "Home? My home is the box. But now I'm not in the safety of the pyramid, and I need someone to hide and protect my home. So you want me to get your box and do what exactly?" Imani asked. "You understand about the jinn?" it asked. "Oh, well, yes, a little, but I need to research a little more." "You can ask me your questions and I will answer. But first, you must protect my home, and whoever reads the inscription, I will serve them." "You mean you won't kill or hurt any more people?" "Not unless that is what you desire from me." "So, are you female?" "I am whatever you want me to be. In physical form, I can be male, female, reptile, bird, or animal, but I can also be none of those and remain in the ether. I'm appearing now as a female, so as not to scare you. Are you willing to help me?" "Not to scare me? Are you trying to be funny? I'm bloody terrified. How do I know you're not going to kill me?" "If I wanted to kill you, it would be done. You have much to learn and time is short, but I must warn you. I have been sleeping a long time, and now I have been released, I want to explore your world. I may need to use your body occasionally to experience physical sensations, but I can assure you it will not be unpleasant for you." "Use my body? What if I say no?" "Then I will have to find another, maybe the German man, your team leader, but I sense he is not of pure heart, and may use me for selfish and not such humane gains. You would be a better human." "So you can do whatever I want?" Imani asked, getting more interested and less scared. "Yes, but only after you have read my inscription. But I warn you, you have not seen my wrath when I am angry. You want proof of my power? Tell me what you want, and I will make it so. Make my friend Hayden better. You nearly killed her. And bring my other friend Catherine back." "I cannot bring Catherine back. She was not killed by me. It was another jinn. But your friend Hayden? It is done." "What do you mean, it is done? I just saw her at the hospital, and she's in a terrible state." "Go to the hospital, and you will see." "Really? So how do I get your box, then?" "It is here." The box suddenly materialized on the table, as if out of thin air. "Read the inscription, and I will be your servant." Imani picked up the beautiful, intricately carved wooden box and looked at the text. It was an ancient language, and even she was surprised that she was able to read it flawlessly. As soon as she finished, the djinn materialized fully into a beautiful Asian girl and stood in front of her.
"Now you must protect my home, my box, and do not tell your expedition leader."
"Why, what will he do?
He knows much more about the pyramid and djinn than he is telling you and his team. He has been looking to control a djinn for a long time and will do anything. In fact, he will kill you to get hold of my box. If he does, he will become my new master, so you need to protect my box with your life."
"So how do I, you know, call you up or ask anything?"
"I am now connected to your mind. I will appear whenever and as whatever you desire, male, female, or even an animal like a lion or a dog to scare away predators or anyone that tries to harm you. If you have no preference, I will appear as a girl like this."
"Wicked. So what do I call you?"
"You choose, but if you choose a female name, how will you name me if I appear like this?"
She suddenly shape-shifted into a huge, 7 feet tall, muscular black Arab man and stood laughing with his hands on his hips. Imani stared at him open-mouthed and said,
"Oh, my God! So, can you bring Pierre back?"
"Ah, that would confirm to your German team leader that you have access to a djinn. Also, because the police are already involved, it will appear like a miracle. But I can bring you back once you're safely back in London."
"How do you know I'm from London?"
"Our minds are now connected. I know everything about you, your habits, likes, dislikes, and you really need to get out and have some fun. You work too much and are missing out on your social side of life."
"What do you mean?
Boyfriends, or maybe you prefer girls? You haven't had much experience yet, so this is going to be very pleasurable and interesting for us both."
He quickly shape-shifted back to the stunning Asian girl. "Oh, my God, I need to think about all this. So let's get Hayden out of hospital and then back to London." The djinn disappeared into thin air. Kurt was knocking on the door.
"So what did you find out at the hospital? Was she able to tell you anything?"
"Oh, not much, just rambling on about the room filling up with a black mist and being thrown around the room."
"I see. Well, if you hear anything else, let me know. I suppose you want to get back to London."
"Yes, sir. So can I go home then?" she asked.
"I don't see why not. I've told the police what happened, and I think they're all scared to fucking death, so they won't be doing anything to us, and even the pilot says he's never going near that pyramid again."